touch on here in the sermonette time this afternoon is an area of church doctrine that's very important to all of us, and yet I think most of us old-timers are so familiar with it that we take it for granted. And I don't mean careless taking for granted, but rather a familiar taking for granted. And for people newer to the church, it can be something they don't know much about, and that can happen as well. And yet for the physical human being, it is a very significant part of the Christian life. It's tied into the Passover service and right back to Christ's sacrifice. And it's also a physical and spiritual display of our faith and our trust in God. What I'm talking about here, brethren, is a ceremony that we call anointing. And I thought about it because I was up at the hospital the other day and just thinking of the various occasions over the years we've had opportunities to anoint people, either in their home or going to hospitals, in the emergency wards, in the isolation areas, and all the rest of it. And I just thought about it, and I thought I'd like to just touch on it briefly this afternoon. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. It's interesting that I've heard over the years people say, well, I guess I'm not feeling too good. I guess what I could do is get anointed. And I thought, wait a minute. That's the first thing we should think about. It's not the last thing we should think about. We should go to God and go to the ministry and say, I'd like to be anointed. I've got a problem. I want to put this before my God. And that's why I say it can become very familiar. I've heard people who've been around the church for a long time say things like that or make mention of it that way. That should not be, because God's here to help us and extend his hand of love and concern and compassion and care for each and every one of us. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, by his wounds, by the gashes and the blows that cut him, we are healed. Very significant. Let's turn to James chapter 5, verse 14. Again, very familiar scripture to us all when we're discussing this ceremony, as I call it, of anointing. Not something that I treat lightly at all. When someone comes and asks for anointing, I take it very seriously. And it's not that I'm doing the work, I'm just a part of it, but I take it very seriously. James chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, if anyone is sick among you, then let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. There's a promise. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven. In verse 16, it talks about the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And we know that we get the updates from Mr. Bowles. There's some recently about different people needing our prayers and our concern. And what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to be able to do that, to get on our knees and beseech God to be with these, you know, different individuals. So let's turn to Mark chapter 6, another scripture here. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 4. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And verse 12, and he says here, and so they went out and they preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So you see, brethren, we have access here to the healing power of God because of Christ's sacrifice, and that is where it begins. And we beseech God through prayer, the anointing, the oil, and the laying on of hands of the ministry. The oil is symbolic of God's Spirit, and the laying on of hands is how God is shown in the Scriptures. That's his way that he set up for setting someone apart for a purpose. That purpose might be anointing for a sick, or it might be for ordination to an office. You can notice that in Acts chapter 6, verse 6. We're not going to turn there. There was the laying on of hands in that particular instance, but there was no oil involved. Okay, so God always gives us the plan. He lays it out. He details in his word. And he says, here's how you do it. Here's how you worship me. Here's how you follow through on all these various things. And you know, brethren, here's how we have to approach anointing. How many churches do not take this ceremony seriously? Lots of people know about it. I've talked to different people in other organizations over the years, my sister for one, and a Protestant organization down in the U.S. They've kind of heard of it. Yeah, we sort of heard of it, but they don't take it seriously. And the promises are here. The promises are here. Some groups advertise their healing crusades. They go through town. We're coming through tomorrow. Come down to the stadium. It'll be a healing crusade. How often have we heard that? And people flock to those things because they're searching. They want answers. They don't get it from the people that they look to, and they certainly don't get it from organized religion, as we know. They get confusion. People jump up and down the stage. They push people over. They claim they've been healed. You've seen all this stuff. One particular man, after he pushes someone, they fall over. He says, now let's give the Lord a hand. That's blasphemy. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. You know, that's not kneeling down in faith and submission to God with the minister. Praying to Almighty God, requesting His intervention, having a little drop of oil placed on their forehead, and the minister lays hands on them, asks God to set them apart for healing. That's the process. And it's very clear. It's right here. And earlier I talked about having faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's from Hebrews chapter 11. So it's all part of it. God tests and builds our faith through all sorts of trials, you know, physical and spiritual. And some people have had to wait months, and in some cases years, for God to intervene and to heal them. In other cases, He acted immediately. In some cases, He does not intervene at all, and different ones have gone to their graves. But the promise to everyone is this: they will someday be healed of all ailments and be raised up with a spiritual body and live forever. So the promise might not be received right now, but the promise is real. The promise will one day be fulfilled. God does not promise to heal everyone of every sickness and every disease. God does not say, you know, when He will heal. I want to be right now. And we're expecting God to intervene. We really are. And quickly. We can come boldly asking for it in faith and confidence. And that's how we should do it. But we have to wait patiently, because God is the one who determines how He's going to do it in His way. Now, there's many instances you can look at in the Scripture. I haven't got time to turn to them. Over in 2 Kings 20, 2 Kings 13, talks there about Elisha. He was sick unto death, and David, of course, got old and had to have someone tucked up beside him there because he was cold and he was old and he was going to die, and God didn't intervene to heal them. Why not? Only God can answer that. But there are three important ingredients to consider when you talk about healing. There's faith, there's obedience, and there's patience. And the obedience is doing it God's way. Do you have to be a church member to be anointed? No, you do not. You know, we have anointed many people who were not baptized. They weren't baptized members, children, adults alike. Nowhere does God say you must keep the Sabbath day in order to qualify. I can remember anointing a family member of church members that never attended services. Never. But their parents had faith, and they had obedience. And, you know, it's interesting. When someone calls and says, my daughter is deathly ill, it could be a church mother, and the husband doesn't, not interested in the church, could care less, but doesn't interfere with this particular situation. So you go down, you go and do that. You're in a different environment. You're not too sure what you're going to do, you know, and it puts a bit of pressure on everybody. But the faith, you know, of the individual to go before God in faith and obedience and be patient about it, and God intervenes. I can recall one occasion, the nephew of a member was involved in a very serious car accident. And in this case, the young man did recover. Did God intervene? I'm not really sure, but I kind of think He did, and I'll tell you why. the man was in intensive care, young man. Terrible car accident, hooked up to all sorts of tubes and people all around him, giving him constant care. I had to fight to get my hands into his head, you know. And but they weren't too sure whether what was going to happen. A lot of brain damage, or at least head trauma, I guess the best way to put it. But this woman had tremendous faith, this grandmother. Tremendous faith. Wonderful lady. She said, "Will you go and will you please go and do it for my grandson?" What was I going to do? Say no? Of course not. I said, "Let's go and do it." I'll tell you, it would not surprise me that God honored her faith. So the thing is this, brethren, it's not the minister's faith that's on the line here. It is the individual being anointed. Or in the case of children, it is the parent's faith that's being tested. Now, we obviously have to have faith as well, or we couldn't go and do it. Ministers do not heal. Only God can do that. But you must come to the minister and request the anointing. We read that in James. Then we put it into God's hands for the answer, for the ultimate answer, and for the whole process. From the minister's point of view, it is rather exciting to see someone sick and hurting, their sick and hurting body bounce back and respond. I've seen it. It really sets the hair on the back of your neck when you see these things. God intervened directly. Powerful stuff, brethren, it really is. And it's a tremendous ceremony, this anointing. Something we just can't take lightly. And in some cases, we've seen people die. You know, and they weren't healed. But then God has a process. God's calling and his purpose for those individuals will be realized ultimately. But it takes, on our part, it takes faith, it takes obedience, and it takes confidence. So when if you look at your life and your situations where you need help, ask. If we can't get to you, we'll send you a cloth in the mail. I've done that for a few people, obviously, over the years, and have done recently. That's what we're here for. Mind you, if you want to send me the airfare and you're in Florida, I'll come down. But brethren, coming before the great God and requesting his healing, his power through anointing is a wonderful, wonderful doctrine. I call it a doctrine that can fill us with hope and confidence as we feel God's hand on our lives in a very direct and a very powerful way. And if we follow the process, God will do his part. And our part is to exercise faith, obedience, and patience.